As we continue in our season and our focus on stewardship, I was really thinking about what we listened to last week from Proverbs chapter 27, how to properly steward our resources. And I began to really reflect on what were some of the things that were being shared with us last week, the idea of living within our means. We talked about having a budget and realizing that budget's not a bad word, that there's, you know, nothing evil about that word. It's not going to hurt us or harm us. We learned to start thinking about our priorities and our first fruits, and how do we use those first fruits? How do we bring those in to the kingdom of God? And then really the concept of contentment. We really began to look at when we begin to do things the way that God has laid out for us, and we approach life in a healthy way, there's a sense of contentment that can take place in this. And as I was reflecting on these elements, I've been spending a lot of time studying Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and it just became very clear to me that we're to speak and to look today at Matthew chapter 6, especially in verse 33, because really the same principle of putting first things first, of being good stewards of what God has entrusted us. I hope that as we begin to go through this today, that you would recognize the heart of the Lord, of what He's saying to us about His love for us and His encouragement to us, and that, you know, He wants us to begin to understand the heart that He has for us as individuals, and that it's a heart that is to give us the very best life and the very best that we can possibly experience. But there are some things that we need to understand to walk in that love and to walk in that fullness. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31 says that, "Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek." See, God already knows what we need, but He's saying, "I want you to understand the significance of focus. What is it that you're looking at? What is it that you're setting your mind after?" Because He mentions three things, but you could put a lot of words into that passage. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? And He's like, God understands that we have needs. He understands that there are a lot of things that go on in our life, and yet He wants us to connect with the reality that He knows that. But He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He's telling us, look at where your focus is. Become aware of what it is that you're putting your time and your effort and your energy into. And He's helping that we will begin to understand how that impacts us. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, pursuing His known will. And then all these things that we need, all these things that He's already aware that we have need of, He said, then all of these things, they will be taken care of. They'll be added unto you. You'll have what you need. So God's challenging us in a very gentle and loving way. He's saying, I want you to examine your life. What does the evidence of my life, what does the evidence of my priorities, what does it say about me? How do I take care of, and how do I invest? How do I steward? How do I steward the time, the resources of my time, the resources of my talents, and the resources of my treasure? He's saying, I've entrusted these things into your hands, time and talent and treasure, and now He's asking us to take an honest look. How are you using those things? How are you stewarding them and taking care of them? A clock and a coffee cup. These things remind me of the significance of relationships. See, relationships are important. I've spent a lot of time talking to people, people that I love. And I've heard so many people say, you know, God's not personal. He's not real to me. You know, I struggle with that concept of God being a personal God, and I want to take a look at that statement. But I want to take a look at that statement by looking at any healthy relationship that we might be able to relate to. When you think about the relationships that you currently have today, relationships that you think are healthy, that are meaningful to you, relationships that have some sense of vibrancy and life to them, I think the way you're going to find, matter of fact, I know what you're going to find, is that there are certain elements that are consistent among these relationships. Relationships are built on time. Time spent together. You want to have a good relationship with your wife? You need to spend time with her. Time breathing the same air. Sharing some experiences. You need to spend time in the same room and just being there. If you want to have a good relationship, a healthy relationship with your children, you need to spend time with them. You know, when I was growing up, we used to hear this thing that said, well, it's good quality time, but we need to spend quality, not quantity. Can I tell you that's an error? We do need to spend quality time, but we also need to spend a quantity of time too, because that time, that presence in their lives, that presence of time together is significant because it communicates in so many different ways that I'm interested in you, that I value you, that I value this relationship, that I value what we have together. So time. And I would propose to you also that we have a relationship with the church. Now, when I'm talking about the church, I'm not talking about this building. I'm not talking about the structure around us. I'm talking about us. See, the church is what we live out in faith together. The church is made up of us as we walk through this life together, that we have a number of different similarities. We live in the same area. We face some of the same things going on in our community. We walk through life struggles together. We are about the purposes of God, about going out into our community and sharing Jesus and loving God in front of our community and loving our community in front of others. And we have this sense there's a lot of things that are similar. There's something that I want you to understand about all relationships, the relationship with your wife, the relationship with your children, the relationship with church. If you stop spending time in that relationship, if you stop doing things in that relationship, every relationship over time will die. It will slowly diminish until it dies. And that's true of a marriage, that's true of a relationship with your children, and that's true of your relationship with the church. We need to understand the importance of the time that we spend with each other and what that looks like. When we began to think about relationships are built on shared events, shared values, shared thoughts. See, if you know me very much, you know I like coffee. Matter of fact, I don't have a quiet time in the morning. I have coffee with Jesus. And I changed that years ago because I realized that my quiet time and the way I'd looked at it had become very much a routine. And there's nothing wrong with routines, but I was feeling dry. And I was having coffee with a friend that day, and Jesus said, "Would you have coffee with me? Can we just have coffee together this morning and talk and pray and spend that time together?" And see, relationships are built on shared thoughts and events. Hours spent talking and dreaming and planning for the future. We can only live in today. But God does encourage us to be prepared for the future. We've talked about that over these weeks. And you know, I look forward to watching my granddaughters graduate high school. I look forward someday to being a part of their wedding ceremonies. I look forward to the time that I get to spend with my wife and some of the things that we do. We're planning what we're going to do this summer, but I also recognize that that time, those shared experiences are part of what bond us together. And healthy relationships also have a sense of shared values. You know, Pastor Christina talked about some of the values that we're really emphasizing this year. And there are four values here at Abundant Life that are concrete and core values for us. We value relationship with Jesus and with others. We need to spend time with Jesus. We need to spend time with each other. We value the integration and the application of God's Word into our daily life. See, when you leave here today, I'm hoping that you'll take those notes and you'll look up the Scriptures and you'll think about what's being said and you will allow the Holy Spirit to lead you through that, that you'll look at those things and challenge. Is this right? Was this accurate? How does that apply into my life? How can that help me to integrate and to apply? And then service to others before self. We had a beautiful example of that yesterday. We did a memorial yesterday for the Dorgan family, and there were a number of individuals in our congregation that came and they catered, and others came and they did other things that needed to be done with the sound and the instruments and PowerPoints and just all kinds of different things that needed to be done to allow that service to take place. And so they did that, taking care of and serving others and commitments that are honored. There were a number of things going on yesterday, a number of things that I know people would have preferred to be doing yesterday, but they made a commitment to serve, and they kept that commitment. I appreciate the worship team this morning. They made a commitment to serve, and they kept that commitment. And you could say that about our teachers in our classrooms and in other places. Shared values, favorite music, favorite movies, and different things that we've shared together. These are all part of what relationships are built upon, the shared thoughts and events. And for our generation, the answer to the question, where were you when the planes hit the towers? Bonds us together. It's a shared experience. These are things that play into our relationships. And there are relationships are built on trust. You know, when you begin to talk to somebody over coffee or over dinner and you begin to open up and allow them to see some of the things going on in your life, relationships are built on trust. All of these elements have a common thread. Time spent together interacting and listening and sharing and bonding. See, this is what God wants us to begin to see as we look at the healthy relationships. He's calling us into that same kind of experience with Him. He's calling us to steward our time so that we can be bonded together with Him. See, there are many examples of Jesus spending time with God that we can learn from. Matthew chapter 14 says, "And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up to the mountain Himself to pray." He had just finished a significant time of ministry. How many of you guys have ever been tired? You know, physically tired, right? But we can be mentally tired. We can be emotionally tired. See, Jesus gives us an example. He had spent time giving and interacting and ministering, and He was tired. And He went and spent time with God so that He could be recharged and refreshed and refilled. He gives us that example that we can follow. It goes on in Luke chapter 5 and says, and so he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. See, it's not just about when you need something from God, but Jesus made it a priority to just get away and spend time with God. He made it a priority because that relationship was important to him. And he encourages us, you know, you've heard us talk about it, that we as a staff take at least one day a month to go spend a spiritual day, at least 8 hours away, just with Jesus. And he's calling all of us to do that kind of a thing where we just spend time with God. Luke chapter 9 goes on and it says, now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter and John and James and went to the mountain and pray. It's important at times that we recognize that we need to include people in our inner circle. There was something that Jesus needed to deal with, and he took 3 men that he trusted. He didn't take just anybody. He didn't just take an acquaintance or a friend, but he took 3 men that he trusted, and he withdrew with them to go pray because there were some significant things coming up. And that is an example of what God wants us to see and realize, that we need to be part of the body of Christ because we need those individuals that we know their values, we know their character, and we know that we can trust them. And there are times we need to draw them into our lives and say, would you take this season and pray with me about whatever it is that we need to deal with? And when we think about what are some of those decisions, Luke chapter 6. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountains to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Do you get an idea that this wasn't, you know, a short period, but that he spent a significant amount of time? And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself. And at that time, there would have been a couple of 100 people that were kind of following him. And from them, he chose 12, whom he named apostles. This was a significant decision. Jesus knew that there was work that needed to be done. He knew that there was a need to have an inner circle, men that he could invest in so that the body of Christ could be built, that the church could be birthed and the body could be built. And so that was such a significant decision that he spent significant time looking for God's face and his will for that. We need to do the same thing when we think about marriage or school or jobs or any one of a number of things in ministry and otherwise. God's saying, when you have a decision, when you have something that significant, come to me first. And I'll admit, I've been walking with Jesus for almost a little over 40 years. And I still struggle sometimes because when I'm faced with a significant event or decision, it's still so easy to look to my education, look to my experiences, to look at what my own character says before I look to God. And God's saying, that's backwards. Come talk to me first. All of those other things are significant, but come talk to me first. Let me be at the beginning of that. We see that Jesus stewarded his time, that he made it a priority. We see Jesus spending time with his disciples. He walked with them. He ate with them. He taught them. He spent time with them just talking and interacting. I'm sure listening to what they had to say about all kinds of different things in life because they came from so many different backgrounds, fishermen and tax collectors and, you know, other kinds of jobs that they did before he called them with all the different kinds of stories. And we see Jesus spending time with the multitudes, teaching and healing and being with them. But the principle is the same. if you want to have a relationship with anyone, including Jesus, you need to spend time together. You need to share life together. God's asking us the question, how are we investing the time that He's given to us? How are we stewarding that precious resource of time that He's placed into our hands? See, Jesus teaches us about the importance of making our relationship with God a priority. When you look at Matthew chapter 10, in verse 37 it says, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." Those are strong words. He goes on a little bit later in chapter 15, and he says, "And he answered to them, saying, 'Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death.'" See, this is why it's important to read the word for yourself, to look at books as entire in their entirety when you can, letters in their entirety, because he's obviously painting a picture of a comparison of what's taking place here. You think Jesus is so narcissistic that he's afraid of your relationship with your parents or your children or a friend? It's not what he's trying to say here. As a matter of fact, he refers back to the fifth commandment where he says, honor your father and your mother. It's the first commandment with a promise that life may be well with you. What he's doing is drawing a comparison, saying these relationships are significant, but in comparison to your relationship with God, the time and energy that you invest and the priority you put there, the relationship with husband or wife or son or daughter or anything else, it should begin to pale in comparison. This is what I want you to understand. I've heard so many people say, if I give God that time, if I give Him the very best, then I'm cheating my wife. I'm cheating my children. I'm not able to have meaningful relationships with friends. That's wrong. See, what God is telling us is that He created us. He knows exactly what we are like. And he's like, if you could learn and understand that I am your priority relationship, if you would give me your very best, if you would allow me to come into that place in your life and to speak to you, then I can help make every other relationship that you have better. Because I'm the one that is called the way, the truth, and the life. I am the one whose name is love. I can help you to love that wife, that husband, that son, that daughter, that person better and more completely with more integrity and depth than you can do it by yourself. See, God's asking us to really examine our lives and to look at how are we using that time. Who do I spend my time with? This afternoon, obviously, a lot of us are going to go, what's the Super Bowl? I don't have a problem with that. I love football. This is my thought. That's going to take somewhere between 3 and 5 hours to watch the football game. If you spend more time today watching the football game than you do with Jesus over the entirety of this week, there's something wrong with that. There's something that's not healthy about that concept. We need to ask, what is my relational priority? See, It's about God first, not God only. He's saying, put me first and I will help with everything else. See, the world has fed us a lie that says, if you really love God and you spend time doing what he's asked you to do and you spend time the way that, you know, your Bible says that you're supposed to spend time, you're not going to have time for anything else. So the only thing you'll have in your life is God. It's not what the Word says. He says, make me your priority, and everything else will come into alignment. Priorities. This calendar represents priorities. Priorities of time. See, what I've learned is that our time and our talents are closely woven together, because it takes time to express that talent, whether it's musical talent, teaching talent, encouraging talent, all kinds of things that God has given to us as talents. It takes time to express those things and to have them come out. So time and talent really is closely knit together. I want to give you a challenge. I've done this. Matter of fact, I've done this more than once. I have done this probably 3 or 4 times over the 21 years that Pam and I have been married. Here's the challenge. Take out your calendar. And I want you to be very real and very honest. And I want you to put down everything that you've done for about 2 months. Every appointment, every movie, every ball game, all the television shows, the dinners, the nights spent out. We know that some things like work are dictated for us, that there are certain hours we have to do that, and that's, we understand that. But the extra overtime and extra things that we spend in, put down every bike ride. That one's for me. There are 2 things I want you to recognize as you put every single thing down on your calendar. 1, there's not one of those things that's evil. Not one. All of those things are good things. But each one also takes time. So, looking at that to help us to see with clear eyes, how do I spend my time? Compared to all of life, how does God fit in? How does the relationship with Him, His work, and His priorities, how does that fit in? What does the evidence say about the stewardship of my time? What does the evidence show are my priorities? Who gets the greatest and best part of my life? There is balance. But when you look over a couple of months of time, it will show you and display what your real priorities are. And that's the evidence that will help you to take an open and frank look at what's going on in your own life. Understand, God's not asking us to do this to beat us up. On the contrary, He's going, I want the very best for you. I want the very best for your life. I want you to be happy and healthy and holy and whole. And I know that the things that I've laid out in my scriptures, my word, my principles, my priorities give you the very best opportunity to have the very best life. And so He's asking us to look at that. What do I spend time doing? Who am I doing it with? Why am I doing it? See, there's a principle that he lays out for us. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 says this, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might. Do your very best. Whatever it is, do your very best because nothing's going to the grave with you. The only thing that lives beyond this life is our relationships and our relationship first with God. Do your best. Colossians chapter 3. Husbands, love your wives. He's giving us direction. Husbands, love your wives. Care for them. Encourage them. Support them. Know what their dreams are. Understand who they are as an individual. Lead with compassion and concern about their lives. Husbands, love your wives. Do your best. Do your best. Children, obey your parents. I'm beyond, you know, I have grandkids now, so I don't just have kids, and I've spent a lot of time talking with parents. One thing that I have found to be true, parents aren't perfect. I certainly wasn't perfect, but I can look every person in the eye in this room and say there wasn't one time where I wanted to hurt my children. There wasn't one time that I wanted to take advantage of them. There wasn't one time that I wanted to belittle them or diminish them. Did I do things perfectly? No. Did I hurt them? I'm sure that in different ways I probably did in different things. Did I ask for forgiveness? Absolutely. But this is the heart of almost every parent that I've ever met, is that they love their children. And God's talking to us as children, going, obey your parents in all things because they genuinely want the best for you. Then it says again, fathers, do not provoke your children. Direct guidance to fathers, also to mothers. But the idea is don't provoke your children. We need to understand how God created our children, to understand what it means to not provoke them, to not take advantage of them, to think about what their needs are, what their heart is, what their desires are, the things that God has placed in them, and then make them successful to the best of our ability, to encourage them to be what God wants them to be, not necessarily what I thought they should be. Fathers, do not provoke your children. Do your best. How many of us have jobs that we draw a paycheck for? Most of us, right? Okay, do you realize that's a great definition of a bondservant? No, seriously. You've given them your bond, your word, that you would do a specific job for a specific benefit. That's a very reasonable understanding of that word bondservant. And it says, bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, not only when somebody's looking, as men pleasers, as pretenders do, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. Whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. People are watching us. They're watching. How do you do your job? What do you say when the boss isn't there? How do you behave when the person in authority is not around? Do you act with integrity? Do you give it 110%? Do you do things according to the principles and the rules that are laid out for you? Or is that just something that you do because the boss is nearby? See, people are watching us because all of that has reflection, because they're looking and going, I thought you were a believer in Jesus. I thought your God was supposed to make a difference. I thought there was supposed to be something different in your life, but you look just like me. And if you look just like me, why do I need to change? Why do I need to become like you? It's a challenge to do our best. See, our time, the stewardship of our time and our talents are woven very tightly together. Investing your talents takes time. Living with integrity takes time and effort and energy. And finally, we all know what this is, right? It's a checkbook. See, when we began to talk about stewarding of our time and our talents and our treasures, sometimes we need to take an honest look at what's going on. I would encourage you, look back over the last few months of your finances. I'm not saying that you shouldn't go out to dinner. I'm not saying that you shouldn't take a vacation. I'm not saying that, you know, you can't buy a car or any of those things that, you know, might be appropriate at different times. But what I'm asking you to do is to look back over your finances and what would be our treasures. Like I said earlier, some of these are personal instruments. They're treasures. They're being invested into God's kingdom. Our bank account, our finances are our treasures. Look back over 3 or 4 months, line by line, decision by decision, and ask yourself, what does this look like? What does this show my priorities are? When I look at all the pieces together and I take an honest assessment, what does this say about how I use this resource that God has entrusted into my hands? See, God has a principle for us. He says in Matthew chapter 6, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. See, he's telling us that we need to think about what are those things that are most important. How do we steward our time? Because when we look at how we spend our time, it will show us what our priorities are. How do we steward our talents? How do we take those things that have been given to us? You know, I'm looking at Leo there with his Royal Rangers shirt on, and he gives to our boys. That's wonderful. How do I invest of those talents that God's given me and invest those into others? How do I invest the treasures, the finance, and the resources that God's given me into others? See, when we steward those things, we're building up treasure in heaven, because we're saying, my priority is to do all the things that God has for me to do, because He knows that the greatest joy I will ever have is in being in relationship with Him and with others. It says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and material goods and wealth. He didn't say you couldn't have any of those things, but what he's saying is you can't serve them. It's all about your heart attitude, your priorities, your motivations. And that's what he's calling us to examine today, is like, where are those stewardship things in your life? We're taught to examine our behaviors, Because our behaviors will tell us what we really prioritize. Our behaviors will tell us what's really important to us. Our words are important, but our words can lead us in places. If I say something enough times, I might actually believe it. But my behaviors show what I actually believe in. My behaviors show what I actually prioritize. James makes it very clear. In chapter 2, it says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace and be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit?" Do you understand that it cannot be any more clear? Nice words are nothing more than nice words. They don't solve anything. But he says, therefore, faith by itself, if it does not have works, if it doesn't have the evidence of a changed life, is dead. As we prepare to move around the communion table this morning, we have the opportunity to approach God with open hearts. See, God's calling to us this morning. He's not calling to us to wound us or to belittle us or to shame us. He's calling to us as a father saying, "Would you take a look at your life so that we can build on the good things that are there, so that we can work together to make something that's good better and something that's better great? Because I know how you're put together, because I created you." He's calling us into that relationship. He's asking us to come with open hearts and open minds. He's asking us to test the motives of our heart and to look at our priorities. We understand that our behaviors are the evidence, that our behaviors reveal our heart and our love toward God and our love toward others. Now, please understand, there is always going to be more need than there is resource. And God is not asking you and He's not asking me to fix everything. That's not the point. What He is saying to us, He's calling us to steward whatever He's entrusted into our hands, however much or however little, to use it and to invest it into His priorities and in His kingdom in the way that He's laid it out for us, because He knows that is what it's going to take for us to be genuinely and truly fulfilled. So God's revealing through our self-examination how we treat Him. And He's showing us how to have a meaningful relationship with Himself or others. We need to make our relationship with Jesus a priority, not a luxury. Our relationship is not an add-on. It's not something that if I have a little time left over, if I have a little resource left over, I'll throw God a bone. You know, kind of like, wow, I have an extra, you know, $40. I think we'll go out to dinner tonight. Or we have a little bit extra. Maybe I'll go get that blouse or I'll go get that coat or whatever. You know, that's a luxury. But God's calling us to make our relationship with Him a priority, that it's first. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, His expressed will, what we understand His will to be. And then all of these things will be added and brought into you. As we move to communion, let us consider how God made us a priority and invested in us.